Living Hope Assembly of God.
God is waiting to give each and every one of us good gifts. Oh, I promise you, as a parent, all year long, there are different times that our kids ask for things. And as every good parent, we weigh those things out in what we give our children, but at the heart of every good parent, there's a desire to give them what they're asking for. And the truth of the matter is, we understand that because of finances and things like that, we cannot give them all of what they want. But can I tell you today, and this is not a prosperity message, but I serve a God who owns the cattle that sits on 1,000 hills. And I found out just yesterday that he even owns the hills. Amen. Listen, God is in control of all things. Why in the world do we hesitate in asking him for anything? Listen, the Bible says that the reason why we don't receive because we ask amiss. Listen, we ask with doubt in our heart. Can you trust God today in spite of everything that is going on around you? Listen, the thing that God wants to do in the life of every believer is fill us with his Spirit to the point of overflow. And the reason why we don't have it today is because we don't truly believe that he will. And there's some ideas out there, just because I can articulate something with fancy words doesn't make it the truth. There are some ideas out there that the Spirit of God is not available to believers today. And there's an idea out there that the gifts of God are not available to the church today. Cessationalists believe that the gifts died off a long time ago, but I believe that they are readily available to every person who calls on the name of Jesus Christ. If we need anything in this day and time, we need a move of God. And the only way God's going to move is by his Spirit. And the only way the Spirit is going to move is by you getting off your seat and me moving. Am I preaching too hard today? Amen. God is good, church, and we better grab a hold of it that God's Spirit desires to be within you. He's freely giving his Spirit. If the heart of a mother explodes with joy at the giving, at giving her daughter a birthday gift, how much more does the God of heaven, who sent his son to die for us, get excited to give us gifts? Hello, church. He's excited. He's eagerly waiting. He is desirous to give you things from heaven that would transform your life. In spite of what some spiritually dead person is telling you or some doubter is telling you, listen to this preacher today. It is the power of God that has transformed my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In verse 13 of the book of John, Jesus says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is twice we've heard it. And this is twice that the Lord has said it. At the point of being born again, I want to clarify some things, so bear with me for a moment. At the point of being born again, we receive the Holy Spirit as a deposit. Amen. As a guarantee of our salvation. But Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, is talking about something much deeper. This mention of the Holy Spirit is something that we ask for even after receiving Christ as Lord. The baptism is different from your initial salvation experience in that it says in John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus commanded that the disciples receive the Holy Spirit. And I want you to go there just a moment, because I want you to believe the Bible, and I want you to hear what the Bible has to say about it. And when he had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. This means, and this has to mean, if I may infer, that they were already saved. Amen. And so what this is telling me, that an unregenerated person cannot receive the Spirit of God. When we look at the whole of Scripture in a holistic way, we have to understand that from that perspective. Again, in Luke 10 and 20, Jesus tells the 70 disciples who went out and were used by the Spirit, nevertheless, do not rejoice that the Spirit are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Come on, somebody. Am I preaching the Bible, or is this another book that I'm preaching? No, this is the Word of God. So Jesus told them, even before the Spirit had come in that dramatic way, he says, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At the end of the day, we don't rejoice because God can use me in some spiritual gift, but we rejoice that people are being won to the kingdom. That's what we rejoice about. Listen. You don't rejoice a man who is a soldier in a war that's getting ready to go to war, and when he's out on the battlefield, he doesn't focus necessarily on, look at my gun, look how smooth it is, how shiny it is. No, he knows that that weapon is used to destroy the enemy, and that weapon is going to set the captives free. You want to see the world set free? Let the Holy Spirit work inside of you. Then later in Acts 1 and 4 through 5, we read, after gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father, for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Hold on to that, not many days from now. Now, with that being said, I want to clarify something else. We do not teach that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is necessary to go to heaven or to be in a relationship with God. However, we do believe that the Holy Spirit is subsequent to salvation. And it is available for every born-again believer who places their hope and trust in Jesus. I want you to notice that I said in Jesus. Listen, and this is not a belittlement to God, because we know Jesus is God, but sometimes we get it so mixed up because there are many gods in this world. I want to specify the God that we serve. His name is Jesus, and that every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess. Listen, we're going to go somewhere this morning, and we're going to be seated in heavenly places with Christ, and we're going to leave this place victorious, and we're going to rise up in this spiritually dead society, and we're going to be the light bearers and have the power of God inside of us, and people's lives are going to be transformed. Can I get one amen? This promise was the fulfillment during the first Pentecost after Jesus had returned to heaven. In Acts 2, 1 through 4, it tells us that when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered in one place. And you wonder why we gather in one place, because they've been gathering in one place for over 2,000 years. Suddenly, the Bible says, it caught them off guard. Suddenly means that they were unaware of it. It wasn't like they received a phone call. I'm about to come. Listen, he's not going to call you. You all better know. You better just be doing what you know to do. You better just be searching and seeking, not just sometimes, but all the time. You know what one of the problems is with the 21st century church is that we leave our religion right here when we should take it with us, and we should call on the name of the Lord, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but every single day. The Bible says that we should not cease to pray. Keep praying, continuously seeking God's face. Suddenly, a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven. Where did it come from? It didn't come from somebody else's church or somebody else's idea. It came from heaven. And guess what it did? Just like in the Chronicles, when Solomon was dedicating the temple, and it filled the whole house where they were gathering. There appeared to them tongues of fire being distributed and resting on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Listen, I'm going to shout in this place today, a good old-fashioned Pentecostal shout inside of this house. Not Pentecostal by name on the building, but by Pentecostal because the Spirit of God lives inside of me. And I am excited that God's word is going forth. I am excited that God's people is hearing God's word. I'm excited because the devil is under my feet, amen, because of Jesus Christ. This promise of the Spirit came to the early church. It's not a thing of the past, but it is something that is readily available for all who ask. So many people struggle with receiving the Spirit because they struggle to pray with persistence. Are you following me? You can hear 10,000 sermons all day long, but until you seek the face of God, you will never receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Persistence can mean to be in relentless pursuit of something. It means to incessantly repeat something until you have achieved or received that thing that you're chasing hard after. Can I ask you a question this morning? How much and how often are you chasing hard after God? How often are you in pursuit of God? Listen, you need to chase hard after him every single day. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my heart pants for you, oh Lord. In Luke 11 and 8, Jesus makes it clear that the friend receives because he was persistent in his approach. Did you hear that? The widow who wanted revenge, what did she do? She was persistent. She consistently beat down the door of the judge until she received what she was looking for. Jesus said that we should be just like that widow in that story, that we should beat down the door of heaven until God answers us and gives us what we have been petitioning him for. Some of us are afraid of God, and we act like we can't approach God. God is desiring you to approach him so he can deliver you and set you free. God did create no robots. He created humanity, and humanity is created to trust in the living God. You're not an angel. You are a human, and God created you in his image, and he desires for you to call on his name. He desires for you to trust in him. He desires for you to rely on him. If you're having a struggle today, if you need a touch in your body, call on the only name that can deliver, and that is the name of Jesus. Too often, we quit before the breakthrough. Stop knocking. Have you ever been that person? You went to somebody's house, you knocked on the door, they didn't come to the door. You just so happened to look through your rearview mirror and they're standing out. That's how it is with God sometimes. We quit before the breakthrough. But if we consistently ask, seek, and knock, it will be open to us. Persistence to me is a heart that is driven to know and to please God. As I stated the other night in Bible study, one of the greatest reasons that many of us don't pray like we should is because prayer takes a lot of hard work. Can I get an amen? It takes a lot of hard work. Prayer takes focus. Prayer takes us getting into solitude and getting along with God. Prayer takes talking to God without interruption. And prayer takes obedience. You have to stay until you receive that which he has promised. If we push our way through in prayer, then God can push what he wants inside of us. Did you grab a hold of that? If you keep praying, in other words, and don't stop praying, maybe God is trying to get something out of you. Maybe you're so distracted in that moment. Maybe you're not focused the way that you should be focused, and you can't hear from God. I promise you, if you pray long enough, you're going to forget about everything that pertains to this world, and all of a sudden, you're going to connect with the living God, and there's not going to be a monologue, but there's going to become a dialogue where you speak to God, and God speaks back to you. The question is, will we continue to pray until we receive our breakthrough? The lady with the issue of blood, she had tried many different places until she encountered Jesus, and she pressed her way through the crowd. Did you hear what I said? She pressed her way through the crowd. The crowd was thronging on her. The crowd was pressing against her, but she crawled her way to Jesus. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Man, you should have shouted right there. Some of us saying, yeah, Pastor, I'm pressing. I've been pressing for a long time. I've been pressing for my health. I've been pressing for my children. I've been pressing for my community. I've been pressing for my city. I've been pressing for this world. God, I am tired of pressing, but I'm going to keep on pressing until I receive that thing that I have been asking for. Come on, somebody. Help me preach this morning. I want you to notice something in Acts 1 and 4. They were all commanded by the Lord. Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard from me. Jesus said, you didn't hear this from some outside source. You got this straight from the horse's mouth. You heard it from me. He said, I am telling you to wait. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, where does he speak to you at? He speaks to you right here. Listen, he's going to speak to you today. He is speaking to you today, church. But the question is, are we listening to what the Spirit is saying? What is he saying to you in this hour? What is he wanting to do in your heart? What is he wanting to do in your life? It's going to make a world of difference. But the question is, are you listening? What is hindering you? What is stopping up your ears from receiving from the Lord today? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Guys, this is urgent. We are in an hour today where people need the Spirit of God. This man-made machine called the church is not the church of the Bible. Are you following me? Listen, man has manipulated a move of God for so long, and the Spirit is saying, get out my way so that I can fix what you have broken once again. If we ever needed a revival, we need a revival today. If we ever needed the Spirit, we need the Spirit today. Listen, when there's an 11-year-old kid who stands on a national TV show called Good Morning America, and he can dress like a girl, and he is a boy, and it's okay, and they're celebrating it. They're throwing money at his feet. Listen, we are in trouble. Can I get an amen? We need a move of God. We need God's people to press in once again like we once had. Listen, it's time out for us being quiet. It's time for us to become a force to be reckoned with. It's time for us to speak out loud and spare none. It's time for us to get in contact with God. Listen, God is wanting to speak to you today. Can I get an amen? Listen, I'm wrapping this up. If you'll stand to your feet today. I'm wrapping this up because do you guys want to go for another hour? Probably not. Next week, you got to hear part two. You got to get here. And I'm going to give you the answer to why the church has not moved forward. And I feel like it's coming from the fact that we're one of the most impatient generations, societies. See, just out of instinct, many of us, about 12 o'clock, turn and start looking at the clock. And just out of instinct, our stomachs start to growl. Because we have created a habit. And if we're not careful, our habit will supersede God. Next week, we're going to talk about the process of waiting. And we're going to finish this message up with that idea. The process of waiting. Long time ago, the church didn't mind waiting. Be in church all day. Now we have tacked so many things on our plate, we don't even know which way is up. Am I preaching too hard? I want to get us, you want to see a move of God? Listen, I didn't drive all the way 800 miles just to play games. I drove here to pastor this church.
Hallelujah.
And if we would hear what the Spirit is saying through me, I believe that we'll go to a place that we've never gone before. Not because of me, but because He's God. And God calls a person to do a certain thing. The question is, are we going to follow God or are we going to follow just whatever we want to follow? I'm not saying that God doesn't speak to you, but if I'm the pastor and I am the pastor of Living Hope Assembly of God, and I believe that God is taking this church body to a place, and there's going to be a renewing, not just in our hearts, but in this city. And we're going to see powerful things happen. You know, oftentimes whenever we see a move of God, guess what happens? The enemy raises his head. Several times I've seen this, and I want you to hear what I'm saying. Just about every time what happens in my mind is right before the attack, God shows me the devil. He's kind of in a desolate area, and he has the appearance of a lion. I can't hear his roar, but I could see his roar. And he roars and he shakes his mane back and forth. And 9 times out of 10, when I see that, the enemy comes against what God is doing. But when I look around and I see all of your beautiful faces here, I see that God is winning.
Hallelujah.
See, the truth of the matter is, God is going to get the victory with or without us. But we have an opportunity, not for God to be on our team, but for us to be on God's team. See, I believe that God calls a people to a place to worship, to grow, to be fed, and to be empowered, and to go out and do what He's asking us to do. I'll tell you what, if you seek the face of God hard enough, God will give you the answer pertaining to that. But that's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is this. We're at a place right now as a church where God is doing amazing things. But the enemy is attacking, and he's attacking me. He's attacking you. He's attacking us. But the only way we're going to get out of this one, guys, is that we learn to wait on the Lord. Next week, we're going to talk about that, okay? Next week, we're going to talk about what it truly means to wait on the Lord and what has hindered not just this church, but many churches, the body of Christ, from seeing a move of God like we once had. And that's why we have initiated prayer once a month for the entire year of 2019. So press in and ask God, God, how do I belong in this part of what the church is doing? What is my part in this? What do you want me to do? Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, be glorified. Lord, I know that your word has gone out and it would not come back void. Father, today I pray in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. And God, I pray that every person in this house, Lord, will receive your Spirit. And Father, those that are not baptized in your Spirit, I pray, God, that they will feel comfortable and that they will feel like this is a place. This is a time, a moment for them to receive. God, I come against the enemy that tries to place a spirit of doubt. God, that's a gift that you desire to give to every born-again believer. God, help us, Lord, to press in and receive. Father, be glorified in your people. Lord, may every stronghold, every wall, every hindrance be broken. And may your people receive from your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. If you're here today and you want to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, raise your hand. I see one hand. Come to the altar. Do I see another hand? Don't be afraid. Lift your hand up high if that's you. Amen. Amen. Is there more? Come on, guys. This is the time. I think the waters are stirring today. If you want to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, come to these altars now. If not, I want you to lift your hands towards this altar. We're going to get down into the meat of the sermon. And I firmly believe that through Scripture, we're going to talk about it this coming week. I firmly believe that when a person receives the baptism in the Holy Spirit, they will speak in tongues. I believe that that is the initial evidence. But I don't believe that after a person speaks in tongues, that's the only evidence. A changed life, an empowerment to do what you cannot do on your own. Amen? Amen. Can we pray hard for this young man to receive the Lord? Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for Trail. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that he would receive right now your Spirit. And God, that the good work that you have started in him, God, that you would bring it to fruition. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, that he would receive of your Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Will you pull him to the side and continue to pray? Listen, God is moving and stirring. If you're in this place today and you just need a refreshing flow of the Spirit, you're already baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're in love with Jesus. If that's you today, I want you to come now. Just come out your seat now. You just want a fresh flow of the Spirit. A fresh flow of the Spirit. Amen. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. 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 Father, a fresh flow of your Spirit. A fresh flow of your Spirit, God. Anoint these soldiers of yours, God, there's with a fresh overflow of your Spirit. God, make it known to them, God. Pour it out on them, God. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. God, fill them to the point of overflow. God, life sometimes weighs on us. Life sometimes holds us down. Life sometimes hinder us. Life sometimes jade us. Sometimes life just zaps the strength out of us. God, I pray today that your people that's under the sound of my voice, God, will be filled with your Spirit to the point of overflow. God, have your way in this place and amongst your people. One more thing I'm going to say. If you're here today and you are either away from God or you have not ever accepted him as your Lord and Savior, or you have accepted him as Savior, but you not have accepted him as Lord. Lord meaning that you have given up your will and you're living for him. You want to live for him. If you have not accepted Christ and you want to do that, or if you have walked away from him and you want to renew your walk with him, will you come now? Will you come now? Very important. It's very important. We don't know the day nor the hour. We don't know the moment that we leave from this place, we can fall dead. And the Bible says, if that happens, it's appointed to man once to die, and then the judgment. There's no more, can I go back and do it over again? He's going to become judge. What is he going to say when the gavel slams? Is he going to say, well done? my good and faithful servant? Or is he going to say, I don't know you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your people. God, I pray, God, that you spoke to their hearts, Lord. And that in the middle of everything that I've said, God, I pray that they have received, and that the enemy who desires to bring offense, I pray that he will be exposed, and that your people will rise up victorious and be set on fire by and with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you and thank you for coming.
Living Hope Assembly of God.